Welcome to the webinar today, guys. I'm Marlon Sampson, and I'm very, very lucky to have my boss, which is always a scary thing to interview, Peter Willow Williamson, and also the head of Ericsson LG, Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing, Arhed. Welcome. We did have Arhed on the show last week, so obviously a bit of a glutton for punishment. He has come back for the second webinar as well as a podcast. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Marlon.
Excellent, excellent. Arhed, how's it been back for another week in Sydney in lockdown?
Man, you know, it's always great to be home. Not so much with the lockdown, of course, but I'm hoping that that's going to be a thing of the past very soon as we hit those VAX milestones.
Well, hopefully we can all get together for a Christmas drink, or if not, if we're allowed, a picnic in the park, Peter. Guys, thanks very much for joining us, as I mentioned. For those of you who don't know, we do also stream this through to our podcast that is available on most of the channels that are out there. Peter and Arhed, guys, you've both been in the telephony space for quite some time. I know you were just talking about Dickie Knee then, so I'm not too sure how long that takes us all back. What sort of changes have you guys seen in the industry? And also, I guess, what's the speed of change in the last year? How has it affected all of us? I'll go to Peter first, probably.
Thanks, Marlon. Look, so the changes. You know what? It's interesting that that question comes up because I don't think there's been on one level, I think there's been massive changes, but on another level, I think things are very similar. And you know, we talk about the telephony space in the marketplace, and as you know, I'm a big advocate of voice is the killer app. When I look at it, whether you're selling an on-premise solution or a hybrid solution or a cloud solution, it's still what we've all been doing in a telephony sense for the last two decades. We're selling a device or a series of devices connected through some mode of transmission. And I've lived through PSTN, ISTN, SIP, VIP, etc. So we've seen that change. It's just a different technology, but delivering the same services or the same things to the customers. I think where the change is, and which has really, really been driven by the pandemic, is the whole ability to maneuver what you've got, right? Can you quickly pivot to a at-home environment? Can you provide a hybrid? Can you grow your business quickly? Can you shrink it quickly under stress, et cetera? So what we've seen is, I think that telephony, which is we're talking about today, has remained very similar. It's about intelligent devices or a group of devices delivered through a method of transmission. And if you can do that effectively with the right features and functionalities, you win. The challenge today is how Bedouin, and I use the word Bedouin to source up that being that, how much ability do you need to be able to breathe in, breathe out, work from home, not work from home, collaborate from home, communicate, etc. And of course, finally, where, you know, how do you do that in a secure environment?
Absolutely. And Arhed, for yourself, mate, you've been around for quite some time as well.
Yeah, thanks, Marlon. You know, I'm similarly along the same lines as what Peter's saying. It's a funny old industry, you know. As much innovation as there is in the industry, there's still so many things that are still the same. And just reflecting from our business, I mean, we still sell, you know, technology that's 15 years old plus. So we still see a lot of demand for analog sets, digital sets. We still sell hybrid systems as an example, and on-prem as well. But having said that, there's just a ton of innovation as well going on in the business. And, you know, what we're seeing from a change perspective is a demand or an appetite for more OPEX-based models rather than CAPEX-based models. So this idea of paying for your telephony solution as a recurring, as a service model is certainly more appealing these days than it has in recent years. As well, I totally concur with Willow's viewpoint that voice is the killer app, but it's not the only app. And we're seeing telephony systems or communication systems really forming the foundation of digital transformation and using it to do improve that customer service, that customer engagement beyond just the telephony. So things like presence, things like chat, things like contact center analytics and all of this stuff. So while many of the things still exist in the communications world, there is transformation, there is innovation, there is change. And what I would say about that is that every market and every customer moves at their pace. So there isn't one pace in which we see the market moving, either within a homogenous market, say, you know, within Australia, because different verticals and different customers just have a different roadmap to that transformation. So it makes it quite challenging, I think, from a vendor perspective, to be able to provide solutions that address the myriad of requirements that we see in the marketplace, both within a market and also globally.
Yeah, guys, I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the funniest things for me watching is also the rise of, obviously, of video conferencing throughout. But I think, Pete, we've talked about this a few times where you're on a video conference, but most people still hide their face on that video conference. So you may as well have been on that telephone call anyway. So I think there's been many changes and introductions of obviously video and you're right, Arhead, with being able to have contact centers anywhere and all those type of things. But it's still the basics of being able to talk to your customer. And what I find quite interesting is doing that poll at the beginning here, guys. Still quite a lot of you guys are doing telemarketing still. So the business to business is still around that telephony side of it as well. Question that I'm kind of a little bit getting sick of as well, but it seems to be the norm of asking on these type of things, the impact of COVID on our industry, and especially, I guess, Peter, I'll go to yourself first again, if you don't mind. The impact of COVID, but not only just on individuals as people, Peter, but also on our partners. What are we doing to sort of help there? And I guess, how's it affected us as RA Technologies? What's your sort of thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's a big question, Marlon, and being really, really blunt, in terms of fulfilling my role and looking after the business and the team as much as I can in these unprecedented times of challenge, it hasn't been easy, and I think it particularly hasn't been easy for small to medium businesses. And, I keep saying this, but it's the bar, the restaurant, the hairdresser that cut the guy in the bar's hair, the guy that did the packs for the hairdresser, all of that microcosms of small businesses have been really the ones that have borne the brunt of COVID. And there's no question in my mind, no whatsoever, that that's the part of the market that we need to see revive, for the Australian economy to revive. Remember this, pre-COVID, there were 1.8 to 1.9 million small to medium businesses in Australia. We are an SMB economy. So the good news, I think, is that once we hit the vax number, and I might just segue for a moment, I'm vaxxed to the max and pleased to announce that my son is the last person in the family to be done. So we've got complete double vaccination at the Willows house. That being said, what I'm trying to say is I believe there's a lot of pent-up money. Believe it or not, a lot of us haven't been on the drink or gone to the pokey machines or imbibed in other nefarious behaviours, which I will remain quiet. But what I'm saying is we've got some cash in our pockets. When this economy opens up, there's going to be a boom, in my mind, and there'll be a lot of those small businesses will revive. We'll still want to go to restaurants. We'll still want to go to bars. In fact, we may want to go more than we've ever wanted to go. So there's a big opportunity for SMB, but you've got to survive, Marlon. And the survival period is between now and the end of this calendar year, in my opinion. If your business, if you can stay resilient enough, if you can build on opportunities that keep your blood coursing through, commerce coursing through the veins of your business, you'll be one of the ones that are left standing, and you'll be one of the ones that have a great opportunity to participate in the economic recovery. So I've got some very strong beliefs around that. I also would suggest, though, that COVID has done two other things that's very important. Number one, in terms of digital transformation, it's just pushed that miles ahead. You know, we've talked in the, many times about disruptive selling, how quickly, how the customer's usually 66% of the way down the buying journey before they even engage you. I think that percentage is worse. And obviously we've seen through COVID, companies that have adapted, pivoted, I hate that bloody word, but it's used, pivoted to online environments are doing very well. Those that couldn't pivot or didn't pivot are hurting, okay? So there's no question that the embracing digital transformation, and we at ARIA, as you know, Marlon, have done an awful, awful lot around around that. The last thing I'll say is, in terms of people's welfare and their mindset, you know, I often comment on this, but for me, and I just can talk about personal experience, after I had my second vaccination, I felt a little bit relieved. Today, and I made light of it just before, but it was important to me, I've got my family vaccinated now. So I believe all of us have been carrying quite a load behind us in the back of our mind, whether it's about, you know, our families, etc. And I saw recently saw a poll. Most Australians are more concerned about losing their job than catching COVID. So clearly we've all felt the pressure. Well, that's the truth, right? So you know, at ARIA, we've tried to be mental health, be sympathetic to people's mental health, work with them. We've always gone family first, but we could have done more. I would have liked to have done more, but at the same time, we've tried to keep our people in roles, keep commerce coursing through the business's veins. So that's where we land. Bit of a long-winded answer, Marlon, but it's something I'm passionate about. And okay, the last point I'll make, our channel is the SMB channel. So obviously our partners are feeling the stress. So we are doing everything we can to throw relevant products and services and solutions to you that you can sell now. And I think that's the one point that I really want to pick up. There's a few in the channel that have flipping well given up, and that's bullshit. There are lots of opportunities that you can use. Talk to us if you want to hear about them so you can keep the business ticking away. Sorry, big answer.
No, Pete, I think it's important. And, you know, one thing that I do think that probably goes a bit unnoticed, you pretty much call everyone in the business every day just to just check that we're all okay and that we're sane. You probably get a whole myriad of different answers. You probably have some sob stories. Sorry?
It's being stuck, I'm not sure about, but yes, the rest of it I do. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so I think it is good to check on the staff. And Pete, I, you know, for myself, I've also been calling up a lot of our partners just to check that they're okay. You know, sometimes it is about business and seeing what we can do to help, but also it's just about, hey, you know, are you guys doing okay out there? Is there anything we can do to help? Or even just talking about old conferences. I know last night I was texting between Danny and Abby talking about how we're in Vegas a few years ago and having a laugh about that. But that's also just to help with mental health, I guess, Pete, which is
absolutely
very, very keen to hear more about. I had yourself, mate, you've gone through a huge amount of change. You've moved back from Korea to Australia. Welcome home again, as usual. But how's that impact for us and Ericsson LG?
You know, I can reflect on it in two ways. One, in terms of what I've seen happen to our business, and secondly, as you know, we engage very intimately with many analysts, Gartner, Dell'Oro, Frost & Sullivan, MZA, and several others. And the general consensus across the board from the analysts that we engage with is that the COVID pandemic has certainly accelerated, as Willow has said, the digital transformation journey. And certainly, I mean, that's a big cliched kind of term, but, you know, more something we'd more relate to is remote working or work from home requirements. I think that was the first issue that was impacting businesses immediately, was when, you know, stay at home orders were issued, how can I continue to take a call? And I think there are a few businesses that were caught a little bit unawares, that didn't have the right technology or didn't have the right solution in place to be able to continue their businesses from a remote location once those orders were given. And what we've seen in our business is a reflection of that. We've seen a very, very high take-up rate of unified communication applications. The attachment rate for us was you know, depending on which technology you're on, was 10 to 20, as high as 30% for our cloud business. And we've seen that accelerate, like double. Okay, so immediately there was just a huge take up of these kinds of applications and solutions in order to be able to meet these work from home requirements. And it's funny, you know, you asked the question about what's changed in the industry. We've been selling this value proposition, as you know, for many years, this ability to be able to work from anywhere on any device. And it really took, you know, this situation to kind of accelerate the adoption and the take-up rate. It's always been there. It just hasn't been as attractive or as necessary as it is today. So certainly had some impact. Will it go back? I think that remains to be seen. I think most businesses have been quite satisfied with the experience that they've had using these tools and applications and the results from them, that you know, I don't see a reversal of that going forward.
I can't agree more. And, you know, I think us obviously being the manufacturer's representative of Ericsson LG in Australia, we've got one of the best teleworking solutions around. Our customers, you know, when I look at our competition, some of them are very complicated to set up or sometimes just quite frankly don't work very well. The solutions that our partners have had access to for, you know, almost the last 10 years to enable that work from home or work from anywhere environment has been second to none with Ericsson LG. So I really think we've been really important in this time to allow businesses to continue, and something, you know, where we should all be proud of that we've assisted business to continue. Because imagine, you know, if this pandemic happened, I would dare say 6, 7, 8 years ago, the economy would have stopped. We would have been in a much worse place with not having this technology being able to work from anywhere. So I think it's well done to everyone on the channel for pushing that forward and well done for Ericsson LG to build it. Sorry, Pete.
Excuse me, Marlon, just one point I'd like to make there on the back of what both you and Arjen have said, and that is, you know, the what we offer, the solutions we put into place need to be relevant, and they need to be relevant to today's needs. So the whole working from anywhere on any device on a secure network is the fundamental tenet. But it doesn't have to be in the cloud. No. Ericsson LG, whether it's on-premise, a hybrid, and both a private cloud and public cloud solution to that issue. And business continuity, the ability to work from home securely and in a managed way, and that's part of the benefits of using ELG, we can offer a lot of those call center type functions to remote workers and remote managers of remote workers. It doesn't have to be in the cloud. We have the solution to the issue, and the issue is business continuity working from anywhere, right? I think sometimes people miss that point big time.
I totally agree, Pete. And you know, remote working, I believe it's here to stay. I think, you know, going forward for businesses, there'll be some businesses that will embrace complete remote working. We did a quote a couple of weeks ago for quite a large business. They took up 2 or 3 levels in the city. Pete, they're shut down their entire office. Their entire business is now going to be working from home and using a virtualized solution. So they haven't chosen to go to a cloud offering. They've chosen to go to a virtualized solution inside of AWS. So that type of business, they're going to work from home permanently. But then I think also going forward, and we're seeing this more in quoting than me and Mike do all day and every day, and all of our other, you know, channel managers, Antoinette and Nick and Leo, they're seeing the same, that some businesses will have a hybrid where there'll be people working in the office and working on it from home. We've got these solutions, you know, and I think one of the great solutions we have, or opportunities that we have going for the channel coming up, is the launch of IPEX One. I'll get Arjen to tell us a little bit about that in a moment, but also our integration into Teams. Just doing a poll on the screen there at the moment, guys, 32% of you said you see the one piece of technology that you've really relied on throughout this whole pandemic or this whole time has been UC tools. So the ability of having Teams or yeah, UCS to embrace businesses. Guys, if you haven't voted on the poll, please do so because it does help us. Ahead, we're about to launch in Australia IPEX One. A lot of the people on this webinar and this podcast don't know what IPEX One is. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what Ericsson LG's built here for us, Ahead?
Sure. So, we're very excited about this product. And frankly, it's a little bit, I wish I had this product 12 months ago, pre-pandemic. Certainly, we could have made a lot more of a splash with it. But nonetheless, it's here now. It's our next generation unified communications platform. It leverages the industry's standard WebRTC technology. What that means for you basically is that, gone are the days of having to load up an application on an iOS device or an Android device. It uses the underlying web interface, so a browser-based application. So it gives us the ability to be able to deliver a seamless and unified experience across every device by leveraging this technology. And delivers, all of the stuff that you've come to expect from a unified communication solution, such as presence and chat and conferencing and whiteboard sharing, etc. We're certainly very excited about that. We've launched it in the UK as our first market. We're now starting to deploy that in other markets around the world, Australia being the next cab off the rank for us. So, we'll continue to support the unified communications solutions that we have in the portfolio today, but hopefully migrating all of that over to IPEX One is what we're branding it. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, I'm very excited by it, Ahead, I have to say. I'm really looking forward to the release, and I think it'll just take our cloud telephony offering just to the next level and keep us ahead of the competition. Particularly ahead of some of those clumsy bloody systems like TCO. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I, Marlon? Never mind.
No, I can beep things out. It's all okay. But I have to say, Pete, it's interesting because it will be a competitor of sorts to that. We will have that rich telephony functionality in there, but we'll have access. I think the benefit for us going forward is we'll have access to any type of soft phone that's out there with our cloud. I'm really excited about it. I've been lucky enough to play with it for the last couple of weeks. One of the easiest and fastest installs I've ever seen of any application. So well done to Ericsson LG for making things simple, because that's what it's really, really about, I believe. A couple of things.
And Marlon, if I can, just address the timing of the release. There were some WebRTC technology has been around for many, many, many years. And there's been an industry uproar on defining what those standards would be. And what we decided to do as a company really was hold off deploying anything until those standards were ratified so that we had a truly standardized-based approach to WebRTC. And what I caution our partners is that where you may find other vendors having this solution maybe a year ago, you can almost assure yourself that that wasn't a standards-based implementation. It's kind of a kludge or a mashup of some standards-based and some non-standard-based deployments. So the standards have only just been ratified, and on the back of that, our product developed and released. So a true standards-based WebRTC development approach to the delivery of IPEX One is what we're going to deliver to the market.
Because I think this will make a big change. We'll probably see that launched with our Telstra CPC product first, and then moving into our IPEX Cloud. But watch this space, guys. It is really exciting, and it looks really nice as well. Some of the things that happened to me and Mike, and I guess all of our pre-sales guys as well, is that we do a lot of training and customer demos. I wanted to put this question to both of you guys because you've had some really good careers going forward. But one of the hardest things that I come to terms with is that whenever I'm doing training or demos, I always get asked by customers, guys, what's the right solution for our business? Is it on-premise? Should I be putting everything in the cloud, or is it virtual? What's your guys' approach to that? Ian, I might go to you first for this one, mate, because we've given Peter a bit of a run. What's your approach
okay.
to that sort of thoughts?
I'm glad you came to me first on that one, because my training comes from Willow's comments, right? So, you know, Willow has spent a lot of time training us over the last several years on, you know, the changing, disruptive selling and the buyer journey and how that's all changed. And one of the statistics that kind of stand out in my mind from that training was just how little sales guys understand the customer business, the customer issues, and just how little typically sales guys understand their own solutions. So this is a very easy question to answer. The first thing that you've got to do is understand the customer situation. You've got to understand the customer issue, and then you've got to marry that pain point or that issue with a solution from the portfolio that you have. And one of the things I think that sets us apart as a vendor from everybody else that is playing in this space today is they're trying to fit a technology solution to your problem. We're trying to fit a business solution to your problem. So we don't go in and say, oh, every solution is cloud or every solution requires prem. It's every solution is unique. And what we're able to do with the portfolio that we have is have an agnostic approach to the discussion that we have, or technology agnostic discussion with the customer, and focus on their business requirements and then match the right solution for them. And in some cases, it's going to be prem. In some cases, it's going to be cloud. In some cases, it's going to be, you know, a private cloud deployment. You talked about the virtualized solution earlier. In some cases, it may be a hybrid or an evolution to something else. So I think for us, there is no one customer. Every customer is unique, and understanding that customer issue and fitting a solution to meet that customer requirement, that's what the training teaches us. That's the product strategy and the business strategy that we've adopted, and that would be how I would encourage our partners and channel to engage our customers.
I agree completely. I don't think there is one solution, but Willow, your thoughts, buddy?
My thoughts are that I've obviously trained our head very well.
Well done.
I was paying attention.
He was awake after all. No, in all seriousness, couldn't agree more with what Arhead said. It is horses for courses. You have to sit down with the customer and understand that customer. And understanding the customer and making it help them make a decision may come down to some things that you've not thought about before. You know, imagine if we're dealing with a massive warehouse that's currently not cat four or five cable that needs old handsets, et cetera, et cetera. The decision for that solution, remembering that the period of time that the company's looking for that technology to serve it, maybe 5 years, if there's no real massive gains for an enterprise like that, you would take them to maybe an on-premise solution. Whereas you have another company which is growing rapidly because they sell syringes, for instance, then clearly we want to be able to give them a cloud solution where they can put it together quickly to the growth of their business. So understand the customer. All I would say is the last part, Marlon, is don't sell products, sell solutions. Agreed. And the solutions you sell can be solutions in relation to the customer's pain points. We always talk about that. But right now, in the COVID and post-COVID era, we want to talk about customers with gain points. So how can we help them make more money, make them more successful in the new world? So the solution is either gain or pain. Try not to sell the product, try to sell a solution. Listen to the customer. Sorry.
I think that's key, Pete. What you're saying is listen to the customer. And for myself, I guess, you know, being in that training world that we've been in for quite some time and helping with pre-sales and solution designs, I think our solution that's out there with Ericsson LG, not having to push someone down a path anymore, is one of the greatest stories. So I can safely go into a solution and not just be a typical salesperson. It's the only thing I had to sell was an on-premise solution. I would tell them it's the best thing in the world, and I would talk against cloud all day, every day. But the luxury that I have, or that we have as a collective now, is that we have on-premise. We can have a hybrid cloud, put the IPEX inside a data center. They might have rack space. We could have a virtualized solution So they might have VMware servers and we can just sell them the software and away they go. Or that might be inside of AWS and they can load that software in the cloud, just like that company I was talking about a few moments is doing. They have all their services in the cloud and we can deploy our IPEX in the cloud as a public offering. And then, of course, we then have things like our IPEX cloud and as well as the Telstra CPC cloud if they want a full telephony experience. So I think for us, having the Ericsson LG brand, we're in such a good position to give our customers what they want instead of pushing them down a path that what their business doesn't need. So really selling the right solution for them. Pete, this is a one that's quite close to my heart, and I have to confess here a little bit. I probably use your name in a lot of my demos without you knowing. So please don't be offended by this. But in a lot of our demos that we do, a lot of the time sales guys will have this great idea of I'm doing soft phones for everyone, right? So Pete, please be aware I do use your name in this. Or we'll have IT guys coming into demos and they're consulting for a company. And because they're IT guys, they just go soft phones for everyone. Why? Because they live and breathe and everything's great on the laptop. But what I like to do inside those demos is talk to the owner of the business or talk to the personnel and just give them a reality fix of what life is like with a soft phone. And I always go out with a little story of, guys, you know, I work for this great guy, Peter Willow. If you ever get to meet him, he's definitely out there. It's not somebody you'll forget. Peter, you know, in charge of a tech company that we're dealing with. However, if I gave Peter a soft phone, I can pretty much guarantee you that Peter will come find me. He'll get his old curly cord and he'll strangle me out because he's not going to enjoy using a soft phone. That's not to say that you can't use a soft phone. It's just not something I believe that you would enjoy. And what I try to push through to customers that it's not just a, hey, everyone gets a soft phone or everyone gets a physical phone. Pete, would you agree with something like that, even though I've been using your name in vain for quite some time, mate?
Look, I've been set up here and I know I've been set up. The bottom line here is it, and look, the millennials might say it's because you're an old man, Willow, but I'm not sure about that. I believe there's still a relevance for hard phones, for physical phones on the desk or in the workplace, and the workplace could be at home. And I'll add two things to it. First of all, I just like using the phone. I like to pick up the handset. I love it when it's on hands-free. I can do a whole range of things. It gives me a better feeling. It gives me the old puppy dog clothes. I feel comfortable. I like it. I think, Marlon, at some stage you might mention we were releasing a dongle for our, yep, for our handset.
Right today, though, Pete. There's been a few interesting word choices, but yes, we are releasing a dongle.
Right, we're releasing the dongle, and that's going to even increase the relevance of the physical phone in a working from home environment, and extending the ability to seamlessly interact with the network. But getting back to it, the handset's not dead. I know a lot of people would like it to be, and I see a lot more challenges at the moment with some of the soft phone deployments from some people than I do from a simple ALG solution on hardware.
I must stress again, on that soft phone, well, most of the time it's not so much the technology, it's more the usability or the, you know, whether we like to use soft phones. Because even for myself, I love lifting up a handset and if I'm angry, slamming it down as well.
This might be a bit of, bloody obvious, but I can't wear a headset with a hat. So it's physical phones for me no matter what, right? So there you go.
Very true, very true. But sorry for using your name in vain in all my demos, mate. But it really does resonate. It is quite interesting to watch people's perception. And we've been halfway through demos where they've been so fixated with soft phones. And when I tell that story and using your example, they will instantly change their decisions in those meetings. And I see it time and time again. They'll go, oh, no, I can't give that to my boss. He will murder me, right? Like, because then they start thinking about, you know, who enjoys technology and who doesn't, and so forth. So it is an interesting thing. Ahed, what about yourself, mate? Physical phones, soft phones, what do you prefer?
Yeah, you know, again, we can focus it on me. I don't think I'm necessarily the target market. My personal preferences. It really depends on where I am and what I'm doing at the particular time. So if I'm in a meeting, in a huddle room with a couple of other guys, we're not going to huddle around my desktop or my cell phone on a soft client. We're going to use a hard phone. And I think, you know, just to answer that question, if I reflect again on what I see from a sales perspective globally, and what I can tell you is sales of hard phones has not decreased as we've migrated many, many customers to the cloud. And as you see technology as attachments are increasing, we continue to see strong demand for that. And I think that comes back to, just the, as Willow said, the usability of the desktop. And what we find is many verticals. And I think there was a study done by a guy named Phil Edholm, who talked about, you know, knowledge workers and information workers and technical workers. And, you know, knowledge workers are people like us that are mobile and kind of do all that stuff. But then, you know, information workers, bank tellers, you listed a whole heap of SMB verticals earlier, Willow. I mean, they just can't work with a soft client. They need a physical device that's located, that is a shared device for that restaurant, for that hairdressing salon, for that butcher, for that business that, you know, is being used. So the demand is still there. The application for a desktop is still there. And it's just not practical in some businesses to, receptionist, meeting rooms, huddle rooms, front of house. So there's still so many, and as I said, the proof's in the results, and there is still a demand for it, and we're still investing in it, and we're still developing and selling them. And it's not just because we have terminals that I'm saying this. It's really the case that there is still very strong demand in the marketplace for a physical device.
Agree, guys. And one of the things. Sorry, go, Pete.
I was going to say, even if you want to move to a fully soft phone environment, my recommendation to a customer would be take people across to the hard phone and then do that, because otherwise you get that whole user acceptance, the allergies of they don't know how to do it. You create problems for yourself where you can make it the transition a lot smoother. Yeah,
very, very true. And Pete, we recommend that, I say give them a choice, perhaps do a survey in the business or deploy both, because there's benefits of both. If we've got a physical phone and a soft phone running at the same time, we do integration to over 130 different CRMs, right? So a call could come in, and the soft phone would automatically pop that Salesforce or that HubSpot or that Microsoft Dynamics, but a user could lift up the handset. So we use them in conjunction with both. So, guys, I'm well on board, and I think, it could also increase your revenue by looking at both technologies. I think they're both there. Guys, something that I've been jealous with over the years is, and I've certainly learned off you guys as well, which I'm proud to say, is how do you both build your personal brands? There's a lot of sales guys on this call that I think will be very interested in this. How do you both build your personal brands? You're both really well known in the industry. How do you get your name out there to potentially get these better jobs? Like, I mean, I had your global Pete, national sales and marketing manager. Some would say that you're taking up two people's jobs and you're probably, a little bit greedy there, but how did you guys build your, maybe that's me, by the way, but how did you guys build your personal brands to get into these types of positions? I'll go ahead, Pete.
Do you want to go for it?
Yeah, go for it. Pete?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look, very interesting question. I think number one, I've always tried to be memorable. So whether it's in terms of dress, demeanor, or whatever, Jean-Paul Sartre, a famous philosopher, always said that a man should dress very conservatively with one little piece of flair. So I guess that's how I adopted. And of course, a melanoma on the head led me to the hats and stuff, which just gives me a tag that people can come to. They go, oh, the guy in the hat, it's the crazy guy in the hat, whatever they want to say, but it distinguishes me. And I think the most important thing, Marlon, is treat people along the way you want to be treated yourself. And I've always found that if I deal with people with common sense and plain dealings, I'm honest. I give them time and I genuinely listen to them. That I think is as it's refunded or not refunded. You get back so much more from the individuals. And I guess the last component is don't talk bullshit. I think people, I got a reputation for not talking bullshit, and I think that's helpful. So that's probably the three things that I've been using, and I'm flattered by your sentiment. So as you are, Ed.
I'm noticing just from very both sales and marketing managers, why are you both doing two jobs? Can't you share them around so we can all earn some more money?
Most important thing I will tell you.
Oh, please,
tell me the secret, mate.
I'd love less responsibility. there's not much to add on that. I think the first thing, certainly for me, is authenticity. I got some really, really bad advice early in my career from a mentor, to this day haunts me, where he talked about my approachability being something of a weakness, that in order to be, a decision maker, I needed to have a bit more distance and stuff. And I thought, what a lot of crap, as I've kind of matured. And and I think you can't change who you are. You are who you are. And I think it's that authenticity comes through. You can't mask or fake it or whatever it is. That's key. I think the second thing for me is around passion. You've got to have a passion for what you do. It comes through. And, if you don't like what you do, or you're not passionate about what you do, again, it's not something you can fake, not for the long term. So if you want to, be successful at it, I think that passion is very clear. And I think something that all you younger managers coming through the ranks have, that certainly Willow and I didn't kind of in our history, is the whole sphere that exists today. Now you really got to leverage that to your benefit and make sure that you're getting out there and you're being heard and you're being seen and you stand for something. And certainly that will go a long way to help building your personal brand and your personal your personal brand and your persona, if you will, and in the industry.
Yeah, guys, the only question you never answered for me is, why are you both taking two jobs on? How come I can't have one of them?
Sales and marketing a lot. The positive and negative ions, right? So the ability to bring them under the one
umbrella. Attract,
they attract trouble. That's what I reckon. But anyway,
I like it, guys. It is hard, Like we've got a lot of new guys that have joined the industry over the last few years, and I think one of the great things for me working with both of you guys, especially for so many years, is that you're both really approachable. So I had hearing that bad advice, I believe, that you've been given in the past, I'm glad you ignored it, because you're both really easy to call up and you're both easy to ask questions, and I think that's what also helps both of your brands as well. But with that said, guys, we had Are You Okay Day the other day. I know Willow, you ring up everybody and you're always asking, are we okay? I had, we check in all the time and stuff like that. How are you guys both doing? Are you both okay?
Well, for me personally, I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm home. I'm home with family. I'm surrounded by loved ones. I'm spending quality time with, my pop and my mom. So, for me, frankly, despite all the challenges that the lockdown and COVID is bringing, I'm fortunate enough that I've still got a job, and I'm one of the lucky few that is able to do their job remotely. So I haven't been impacted so much from that perspective. I've got brothers and sisters and cousins and others in the building game who are going through some really difficult times. And, just the pressures of lockdown and financial impact and stuff. And that's hard to see. That's hard to watch. And certainly, I feel for them. So I don't have any of those pressures personally. So I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Hyatt. And guys, if there is any questions, don't forget to pop it in the questions tab. Willow, yourself, buddy, how are you doing?
Not too bad. I think for my home life at home is pretty good. We've had a few outbreaks of hostility that two teenagers and two managers in the one house with limited bandwidth would have. So that's okay. And as I said, the Willows are vaxxed to the max. So we're all done there. I'm very pleased about that. From a work perspective, I'm finding working from home constantly a little bit tiring. Certainly the whole, I'm getting video fatigue. There's no question about that. In fact, I'm asking people if we can just have a phone call. My favourite thing, the voice is a killer app. Yeah. So I'm concerned, and I continue to be concerned for my team, because I don't want to see anyone out of a job or reduced hours or whatever steps that are coming. I'm trying very hard to keep everyone fully and gainfully employed and moving forward, which we are achieving, which is great. So I'm very 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 pleased about that. And someone said to me, it's a Telstra executive, so or Telstra manager, which you wouldn't normally expect too much sense out of those sorts of people, but on this occasion, Sachin Goel said to me, he's getting around with an attitude of gratitude, and I think that's what we all should be doing. Is appreciating what we have got, not what we haven't got. And, that attitude of gratitude will also see us come out of the blocks in the business. But, I'm okay. Thanks, Marlon, for asking.
It's good to hear. Good to hear, guys. Guys.
How are you?
I'm good, actually. Funny enough, I've just come to terms that this is life. And, it's... I think I'm just, I wake up every day and just consider myself pretty lucky. We've still got a job. I get to have a laugh every day. I get to learn about different businesses all the time. I don't have to battle Sydney traffic. So for me, life's all right. I don't mind it so much. There was some stages there where I was probably going a little bit crazy, and I apologize for that for people that talk to me, but I think we've all gone through it. But maybe I just have Stockholm syndrome now, Pete. I don't know. I'm just come to terms with my characters and the way it is.
Anyway,
exactly. Guys, if you guys haven't answered the poll that's on the screen at the moment, this is a really important one, just creating new content for upcoming webinars and as well as podcasts. If you can answer this one, be greatly, greatly appreciated. And just a couple more questions just to take us out. Any up-and-coming advice? You predetermined this a little bit because you said you had some bad advice from a mentor previously. Any up-and-coming advice you'd give to up-and-coming salespeople, how to move up the ranks or how to secure your future?
Well, it's really, really simple. Really simple advice, I think, from me. You know, the training, I think, that has been delivered in the past by, the ARIA team on disruptive selling, certainly for sales individuals who are on the call, is very key. I think, you've got to stay up to date with the technology. It's moving at a pace. You've got to know your stuff, right? You've got to know, the value proposition of what you're selling. And, I came into an environment in Korea where relationship was prized above all else. And while that continues to be very important in the sales engagement process, understanding your customers' needs and requirements and pain, and matching that with the solutions and technologies and capabilities that exist within the portfolio that you're selling, to me is key, more so than it ever has been in the past. And it's complex. And it's challenging, and so in order to get your head around it and stay on top of it, training. And it, as I reflect on my career, I work with some of the largest multinationals, with Lucent and Nortel and Avaya, Ericsson now. Certainly, my most memorable time is with Nortel, and one of the main reasons for that was they really took an interest and made an effort to ensure that we were trained to the hilt. And I don't know too many colleagues that went through Nortel that aren't in very senior and very respectable positions in the industry today. And I put that all down to the training that we were afforded during our time there. So training is key. I think that's something you've got to do. And we talked earlier about personal brands and the authenticity, the passion. I think, you know, Willow talked about some things as well, but that's just in addition to those things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And look, we definitely offer a lot of training, specifically on products. I can't even tell you how many sessions we do a week. I'm sure everyone's sick of seeing it online, but we do a lot of training out there, and I think it's so important to know the product that you are selling out there. Hey, Pete, what about yourself, buddy?
Look, for brevity and also for impact, couldn't agree more than training with Arhead. Everyone should go and sharpen their tools regularly. But my piece of advice is very, very, very fundamental. One mouth, two ears, two eyes. The reason that they're in that proportion is you should be listening two-fifths of the time, you should be looking two-fifths of the time, and you should be talking only one-fifth of the time. Understanding the customer, getting inside their head, that's the absolute piece of magic. So one-fifth talking, two-fifths looking, two-fifths hearing. Thank you.
Silence is one of the great things inside of a sales tool, actually. If you can bring silence, you'll probably hear a little bit of truth from people as well. Guys, what do you wish you've known when you guys started out in your career? Like, I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while. Is there anything that you could go back in time, Pete, to teach your 20-year-old self, you know, when you were long-haired and surfing out there? Anything you wish you've known now that you could have taught yourself back then? And, guys, if you haven't filled out the poll, please do so.
Yep. All I'll say is I wish I'd learned how to handle my money better. So I was very successful in my early 20s in the music industry. I didn't handle that money very well. And I don't want to share where I spent it, but you get my drift. That's all. And I'll tell you what, I had a flipping good time dealing with it anyway. So that's all right.
Slow brings back good memories and good smiles. But yeah, look, money management is definitely something probably should be taught in school a little bit more, I guess. What about you, Mr. Arhead?
I was going to say something serious, but I can't after that. So. No, look, you know, I've had a blessed life. I'm speaking about it in the past tense. It's not the past. I mean, I'm having a great amount of fun. I guess for me, I was really, in my junior days, I had a lot of opportunity to move abroad, and I was hesitant. I wish I had taken the plunge sooner than I did, because the, you know, for me, the overseas experience has been tremendous, not coming back permanently, and it continues to be. But you know, the advice for my younger self is get broader experience. You know, don't be afraid and don't hesitate. If you're being given an opportunity, if I hadn't known that, I would have jumped in sooner. But take every opportunity given, because every opportunity is a learning one, and one for development and improvement, and it's a stepping stone to the next thing. So taking a plunge soon.
Yeah, look, thanks for the advice. I'll listen to a little bit as well. Arhead, mate, you've just come home to the family. What was the first home cooked meal you were dying for?
Well, I don't know the translation, but it was a good Middle Eastern mum's home cooked meal. So it's a rice with vine leaves kind of dish that's excellent. Absolutely craving. Mind you, I like the Korean food, so it's not like I'm starving over there, but that home cooked meal was certainly very nice to come home to.
Excellent.
After my 14 days of mandatory isolation in Sydney that I had to endure.
Excellent. Guys, thank you very, very much for joining us on the webinar. You guys, if you haven't voted yet on the polls, there's still some time to do it. I do highly encourage you to do it, because then that way we can put together some more webinars for you and podcasts. Please reach out to myself or Peter or Arhead. We're all available, or any one of the ARIA team. You've got Antoinette, you've got Leo, you've got Nick, you've got Michael. We're all very, very approachable. At any stage, if you do want training, hit us all up. Or if you do want special courses created, please let us know. Thank you very much, Ahed and Peter, for joining me today on the webinar as well as the podcast. And if you guys haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the channel. Guys, anything further you want to let everyone know before I wrap this up?
No, just thanks for the time. I'm glad so many people attended. And look, you know, this is available on podcast. And it's, you know, Marlon, we're creating an environment where people are thinking not only about what's happened to them, but where they move to next and how they deal with the future. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Marlon.
Thanks for joining us this week, guys, and we'll catch up soon.